Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boberger. What's up, Mark Boberger? How are you?
Doing well, fellas. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Thank you for joining us on the show. Now, give us your reaction to the Chiefs signing Josh Gordon.
I like it. Here's the thing. I think everybody knows his history and issues he's had, you know, over his entire career. But now that he's back reinstated, taking a chance on a guy at this point, I don't think it hurts you by any means. There's ways you can do some stuff with the contract as well. It's going to be a simple one-year deal, I believe, probably, for a better minimum. And when that guy was in the right frame of mind, I don't know if there was a more talented wide receiver in the National Football League. You know, he certainly was in the top 10 in terms of overall talent. So I like the move at this point in the season, and we'll see how and if it works out for him.
What kind of talent does he still have at this point? I guess it's impossible for anybody to know because it's been a while since he's played, but he's 30 years old, not a lot of mileage because he's spent more time suspended than he has on the field. As you mentioned, at one point in time, led the league in receiving, but that was a long time ago now. So, like, what do you think how big is the upside for him now at this point in his career?
I'll say this. His talent at 30 years old, Nate, is greater than, a DeMarcus Robinson, a Byron Pringle, a Marcus Kemp, a Dorrie Fountain. That's where he's at. Here's the thing. We're not trying, by signing Josh Gordon, this organization is not trying to plug him in the Tyreek Hill spot, right? That they need true wide receiver help overall as a whole. This is a depth piece that upgrades your talent level, and that's what you're trying to do. We've seen the last 2 weeks, and, you know, guys, we've talked about this, that this offense runs obviously through Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce in the passing game. We've seen a few guys over the last couple weeks step up a little bit, but, there were some drops on Sunday, and any time you can upgrade a position and put with a guy that has the talent level of Josh Gordon, it's worth taking a risk on and worth taking a shot on. And when I say worth taking a risk, in this case with him, your upside is a lot better from a talent perspective than what I guess it outweighs everything else at this point. Let's put it that way.
And look, I keep hearing people, even yesterday, like, well, he led the league in receiving 2013. What can he do? You don't have to go back that far to see when he was an effective receiver, right? In 2018, with New England, in 11 games, he had 40 catches for 720 yards, 18 yards a catch, and 3 touchdowns. I'll take that right now. That was in 2018. In 2019, the last time he played in the league, he had 7 games. 7 games started, played 11 games. He had 27 catches for 426 yards, average almost 16 yards a catch. And that was with New England and Seattle. So, I mean, you're not looking for him to lead the league in receiving. You're not looking for him to be the number one guy. You're looking for him to be another option, to give the Chiefs more of a consistent option at number two wide receiver. And we don't have to look back 10 years. You can just look back at what he did for New England in 18 and in 19. And so if he could be that guy, which he was a couple of years ago, what does he do to alter this offense, and what does he do to alter the way the defenses have been handling Tyreek Hill?
Well, I don't know if he alters this offense much, Stephen, but he will alter defenses if he can still run. And it's another guy that defenses have to pay attention to. And if he comes in shape and, is even just a little bit of the shell of a player that he was, 2 years ago in 2019, he's going to be an added piece to the puzzle and an added weapon for this team. Right now they're missing there's obviously a lot of speed on this offense. You know, Mecole Hardman is obviously extremely fast, and we've talked about him, and he's played a lot better over the last couple of weeks. But a lot of that has had to do with the fact that they're putting him in position, you know, with some jet sweeps, with some runs, as we saw on Sunday. That's really who Mecole Hardman is and where he fits into this offense. And not that he's, quote, a receiver secondary to what they can do in the jet sweep and run game with Mecole Hardman, but that's an added, you know, an added value to him once you get out of the receiving spot, side of things. So Josh Gordon coming in provides depth. I think it provides an opportunity to stretch the defense even more. And, again, if he's just a fraction of the shell of what he – let's just say he's 80% of what he used to be, guys. Like, we'll take that on this offense. And I know there's going to be some people out there like, well, I saw this yesterday, too. Like, well, can he cover anybody? Right? Can he play defense?
Right.
Like, the defense played well on Sunday. They played a lot better on Sunday. And so there's a lot of areas on this team that they got to get better. But I think if, you know, when you're going to potentially invest, you know, on paper at least, $500 million in your starting quarterback, you're going to put as many weapons around you as possible, and he's just another added piece to it.
Is there any downside to this? I mean, like Jake described it as a lottery ticket earlier, and I think that's not a bad viewpoint of it. Lottery ticket doesn't cost you that much money. Right now he's just being signed to the practice squad. Considering all the past, you know, the 8 suspensions, got kicked out of every school he went to, you know, it's a long list when you read through all the different issues he's had. Is there any fear you have that introducing him to the locker room would cause a problem?
I don't think so, Nate. I really don't. When you look at his past, you know, the vast majority of his stuff has all been for substance abuse, right?
Yeah.
I don't think this is a situation where he's going to come in and disrupt the locker room, right? I really don't. Like, if you talk to people around the league, And I've had discussions with folks way back in 2015 and 16 about Josh Gordon around the league, and they talk about him just being a solid guy, right? They just had a lot of demons and a lot of issues with where things are at with him from a substance abuse standpoint, and that dates back to his time at Baylor, too. This is a strong locker room, right? There's strong leadership in this locker room. This is a team that's went to 3 straight AFC championship games, 2 straight Super Bowls. They know what it takes to win and how to do things the right way. And, you know, Andy Reid has a history of bringing in some guys over his entire career, you know, that have had some issues. But when I say that, he's had the ability to handle those issues within the locker room, right, and keep those guys in check for the most part on things. And so I, with the leadership of Patrick Mahomes, the leadership of Travis Kelce on offense, you know, guys like that in locker room, I don't see this being an issue where it's going to disrupt anything.
Mark Boerichter is our guest. So, Mark, we had a chance to watch the Philadelphia Eagles last night get beaten pretty soundly by the Dallas Cowboys. And I said on the show earlier, if the Chiefs have problems with the Eagles, then they have problems deeper than even we want to admit. Because, look, the Ravens are a playoff-caliber team. The Chargers are a playoff-caliber team. The Eagles are not. They're a mess, I think. And if the Chiefs just don't give the football away, they should be able to handle the Eagles. Now, it is worth noting that in the regular season, they haven't beaten anyone handily since they beat the Jets midway through last year. That's all they do is play close games. But considering what has happened to them the past couple of weeks, and we saw what the Eagles are last night, they should win this game by 2 scores, right?
In theory, yeah, they should, Steven. You know, I said on the pregame show on Sunday that this Chargers game this past week was a must-win for the Chiefs. And when I say it was a must-win, because now you're 1-2, and you're in last place in the division. Now you have 5 division games remaining, right? Over the course of the year, there's time to make up things. And I don't think, well, there's a lot of people pressing the panic button. I'm certainly not. The reason I said it was a must win is because when you look at the Chiefs' schedule here over the next 4 games, 3 of those 4 games are on the road. Okay. There are games that against Philadelphia that you should win. You got Buffalo at home, which obviously we know Buffalo is a playoff caliber team. You go to the Washington football team, you go to Tennessee. This is an important stretch right here for this team with 3 out of these next 4 on the road. And it starts in Philadelphia, on Sunday, and we saw what that team looked like last night. And you mentioned the close games, Steven. You go back, if you take out the last Charger game, last game of the year last year, regular season, that, you know, most of the starters didn't play. Of the last, I think, 10 games, the Chiefs are 8-2 in the regular season. All of those games have been decided by less than one score. And, you know, is that concerning? Do you look at that and say, okay, the Chiefs, you know, have only won by one score? I don't. I look at that and say that's the National Football League. And the ultimate equalizer is Patrick Mahomes. And if you go back to watching Sunday's game, of course, we all saw the turnovers that happened. We saw, you know, over the last couple of weeks with two of Patrick Mahomes' interceptions, the one on Sunday that he overthrew Kelce on, and then, you know, kind of the flip against Baltimore, really the two worst decisions we've probably seen him make as a starting quarterback, right, for this organization. So I'm not overly concerned about where things are going to go for this team. But to your point, Steven, if they don't go out and play well against Philadelphia and struggle against Philadelphia in some capacity, then we can start talking about the issues that are on this team. But this is a game that they should win. This is a game they need to win to get back on track. And, you know, we've been fortunate enough here over the last couple of years that this team has never been, you know, below 500. And now we're only sitting here only three weeks into the season, that they're 1-2. There's plenty of time to get this to where it needs to go, and I think they will get it corrected.
Watching that Eagles game last night, if there was one thing about them that I thought was a little impressive was their ability to get after Prescott. They sacked him four times, and he only dropped back, I think, 30 times in the game, which isn't that much by today's NFL standards. And look, the Chiefs' young offensive line, they had some struggles in pass protection against the Chargers, especially Niang against Bosa. Any concerns there? Do you think that the Eagles can cause any problems for the Chiefs when it comes to their pass rush on Sunday?
Well, I think they certainly can. I mean, that's one of the strengths of the Eagles' defense is their front four. You know, Fletcher Cox has been a stalwart in there, a defensive tackle. They've got guys that can get after the quarterback. That's always your concern. This Chiefs offensive line is still coming together. I think people need to, you know, five new starters is really unprecedented, right? And they're still coming together, and you got three young guys in there that are really starting their first games over the first 3 weeks of the season here in the National Football League. So they're going to continue to come together. The other guys are getting paid too, right, on the defensive side of the football. Yeah. And so I think to look at it from that side of things, it is the one thing that they have to do this week, though, is control the front four of Philadelphia, because I think there's certainly some guys in the secondary you can take advantage of. You know, Darius Slay obviously was in Detroit for a while. My buddy Steven Nelson, I believe, is still over there. In Philly now as well. There's some things they can take advantage of. We saw that last night. There's a comparable offense right now in the National Football League in terms of the explosiveness. I know more of it's done through the running game a little bit with Dallas and their two backs now. But they've got wide receiver weapons in Dallas, right? It seems very comparable to me when you start looking at, you know, a CeeDee Lamb and an Amari Cooper to a Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I know Travis Kelce technically is a tight end, but you start looking at that, it's a comparable piece. So I think, you know, this is a game they should win, but I think you're always going to be concerned about the Eagles' front four, and that's one area that the Eagles have always been strong in is in their defensive line.
We have Mark Boerichter on the line. 1-2 right now. The Broncos and Raiders are 3-0. The Chargers are 2-1. The Chiefs are in last place for the first time in several years. Do you believe? I think they still win the division. The Broncos' record is built on their lack of opposition, and I think the Chiefs will take care of them when they play them. The Raiders have impressed me. Two overtime wins, but they beat. They won at the Steelers. They beat the Ravens, and so and they pulled that game out on Sunday. And so they have been impressive. And the Chargers beat the Chiefs head to head. But I still think the Chiefs win the division. What about you?
I still think the Chiefs win the division. You got five division games remaining. Two of those against Las Vegas. One against the Chargers. Two against Denver. A lot of opportunity left to make up ground. Right? You're not that far out of it right now. Again, 3 weeks into the season. But I think there's some teams that are better in this division than maybe some people thought, right? Now, I will say this, that, you know, the Raiders got off to a fast start a year ago, right? Or actually the last 2 years got off to a really good start and then completely crumbled. And again, back to close games. You know, this Chiefs team over the last couple of years has won a lot of really, really close games. And I do think there is a part of that that it's a confidence level that you know when the game gets close that you're going to do something to pull it out. And obviously Patrick Mahomes has been a big part of that. But, you know, when you've been on top for as long as they have, with, what, 5-6 straight division titles now, it's you're still the team to beat. And you still carry an aura of confidence that you're the team to beat. And, you know, in the National Football League, you can get beat every Sunday. And I think they look at this game and come and watch the film and look at it and say, okay, with the 4 turnovers, we beat ourselves. We still had an opportunity at the end of the game to win. You know, it's going to take that type of performance that the Chargers had on Sunday for a lot of teams to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. It really is. And, you know, they've got some things to straighten out, but I think they'll get those straightened out here. And again, long time to go yet in this season. I think they'll still win the division.
So the question was asked by our man Darren Smith yesterday of Eric Bieniemy if the defenses in the NFL have caught up to the Chiefs' offense. Eric Bieniemy bristled at that. What do you think?
I don't think so. I really don't. You know, why do we feel that way? I guess I'll ask the question. Why are we asking that question? Just because a couple teams have had some decent performances? I mean, the Chiefs have scored over 30 points in these three games, right? 33, 36, and 30. That's enough to win in the National Football League every week. Or excuse me, they scored 24. Sorry, last week.
Four turnovers and scored 24 points, and if they don't turn the football over, they're in the 30s.
Exactly. Look, this offense is way too high-powered. Has too many wrinkles that teams have caught up with it. You know, you've got a ball in a no-look pass that I know that should have been caught. You know, that's a fluky interception. The interception that Mahomes threw late in the game, he shouldn't have thrown. But if you go back and watch it, Kelce actually slows down for about 2 or 3 steps as the ball's kind of in the air. If he keeps going, maybe he's able to get a hand on it. You know, again, maybe it's still overthrown. But it was a mistake. Look, this offense is going to be just fine. They got to take care of the football. And I know, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has had 2 fumbles over the last 2 weeks. You know, I chalked it up Baltimore. That guy punched the ball out. And the one on Sunday, you know, anytime you're spinning, it's always that guy that you don't see that comes in and hits you that you know, can knock the ball out a lot of times. You know, in those situations, maybe you just rather see him go down instead of continue to fight for extra yardage in that game situation. But I don't think the league has caught up with this offense. I think you've seen a couple good schemes. They've tried it, but it's taken the best performance of, you know, again, the Chargers this past Sunday did everything in their power, and it still took 4 turnovers for them to beat the Chiefs at home, right? That's why I say this. This offense doesn't show any signs of really slowing down. And I'm not being a homer when I say this, that if they don't beat themselves, they'll go out and play well. There's going to be some weeks that they don't play well. But that's not a reflection of the league catching up to this offense. You just have better athletes and better players and better scheme than most teams in the league.
Mark Boerichter has been our guest. Mark, what's the score going to be on Sunday in Philadelphia?
Ooh, I'll take the Chiefs. I'll take the Chiefs. Let's see. I'll go 35-21. I think it's going to be a similar game to what we saw in Dallas last night. I really do. I think just the Eagles have a lot of issues, and offensively, I think they gave the running backs only 3 carries the entire game. I think the big portion of that is because they were playing from behind, you know, most of the game, but. They've got a lot of issues over there in Philadelphia right now, and I think the Chiefs' issues obviously are not as big as everybody thinks they are. So I'll take the Chiefs.
Mark Boerichter, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great week.
You do the same thing. That's former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.